Hi everyone, it is now 5 p.m. on this Wednesday evening in Kingston, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, www.cfrc.ca. Welcome to this week's segment of Today in YGK with me, your host, Alexandra Fernandez. Today in YGK brings you need-to-know news about what's going on right here in our beautiful city of Kingston. From current news, special segments, and interviews with some amazing guests, I'm sure you'll find something of interest that gets you to tune in. If you have any news to share, be sure to contact me via email at news@cfrc.ca. So without further ado, let's get right into it. I hope you enjoy the show.
After discussing with Cabinet and Caucus, after consultation with premiers from all provinces and territories, after speaking with opposition leaders, the federal government has invoked the Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Today in YGK. My name's Taylor, and I'm joined here with Chance, and we're going to bring you some of the headlines from the last couple days.
On Monday, Premier Doug Ford announced all public health measures regarding capacity restrictions and proof of vaccine will be lifted beginning March 1st. This Friday, the 17th, all capacity restrictions except those for sports games and concerts will be lifted, while social gatherings will be limited to 25 indoors and 100 outdoors. The Premier says that even with restrictions lifting come March, the province will continue wearing masks for a little bit longer.
Starting March 1st, no PCR test will be required for incoming fully vaccinated Canadians. Now travelers can opt for a rapid antigen test approved by the country in which it is purchased. Some randomly selected travelers could be selected for a molecular test at the airport, but will not be required to quarantine while waiting for the results. The Canadian government also plans to ease restrictions as hospitalizations in Canada diminish and more Canadians get their booster shot.
Hundreds of PSAC 901 members turned up to vote on Valentine's Day, overwhelmingly for a strike mandate. Union President Astrid Hobel said that it's no surprise that membership returned an impressive strike mandate. The frustration with Queen's lack of regard for graduate workers is palpable. Representing the 2,000 TAs, RAs, teaching fellows, and postdoctoral students at Queen's, the union bargaining team heads back to the table with the university this week.
Prince Andrew, Duke of York, has settled a civil suit brought against him by Virginia Giuffre. Giuffre alleges Prince Andrew of sexually abusing her as a minor at 17 years old. The case is linked to the Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein investigations that found evidence of trafficking minors. Giuffre has accused Prince Andrew publicly of being a client of Maxwell and Epstein's operation. A civil case was brought forth by Giuffre and was settled out of court by Prince Andrew's lawyers. The settlement included a sizable donation to a charity of Giuffre's choice and a public statement removing previous unsubstantiated remarks by Prince Andrew towards her.
And finally, the Ontario Solicitor General's Director of Communications is out of a job after donating $100 earlier this month to the illegal truckers' protest. Now let's take a closer look at some of the news this week, and more specifically, the ongoing protests.
Yesterday morning, Peter Slowly resigned as the Ottawa Police Chief after reaching an agreement with the Police Services Board, leaving Steve Bell as interim chief. This comes after the police response in Ottawa has been criticized by citizens and city councillors for being insufficient and ineffective.
Would you agree with me that there has been a colossal failure of intelligence and that we need to take immediate steps to make sure that intelligence gathering is better, not just for this, but going forward to the future?
So no, I wouldn't agree that it's been a colossal failure of intelligence. We have received intelligence ongoing through this. We have had our intelligence networks continuing to gather information. Where I will agree with you is in this specific area, which is an area that has been unknown to us previously to this, we actually have to look at alternative and better ways to collect better, more timely intelligence information to be able to respond to what's occurring.
Under Section 4.1 of the Police Services Act, the municipality must provide adequate and effective policing concerning public order, maintenance, and emergency response. With all due respect, I have found the provisions of these services over the past 3 weeks to be wholly inadequate and ineffective. So, Interim Chief, on behalf of the residents of Ottawa, can you explain the inadequacy of the law enforcement efforts that we've seen during this siege?
So we've had multiple discussions in this forum about the challenges that we were seeing in this unprecedented demonstration in our city, and not only in our city, but in other jurisdictions across Ontario and across Canada. So the plans that we put in place are exactly that, to create public order and to make sure that our members of our community feel safe and secure in the city in which they live. We continue to build capacities through our partnership with the OPP and RCMP to have the capacity to take our streets back. We have absolutely developed the capacities and have developed the plan to actually go into and execute and affect that return of our streets. So when you ask about adequate and effective policing, I did answer that question earlier. I do believe that we have provided adequate and effective policing, and we will continue to support the community's need to feel safety and security in the place they live while we remove these unlawful and illegal demonstrators from our streets.
Well, Interim Chief, I would beg to differ with you, and I'm certain many residents would also beg to differ on that. We've seen, a scenario where the lack of police action has been inexplicable for many of our residents. We've seen the idling trucks. We've seen the idling generators. We've seen the assembly of jumbotrons, bouncy castles, barbecues. Most dangerously, we've seen fuel dumps full of gas, diesel, and propane canisters. People are being harassed in the streets. They can't go into stores. They're unable to enjoy any semblance of a normal life. Supply encampments remain in operation, and residents have now taken on the dangerous work of enforcement and resistance in their own hands. So I have to say that I don't see that effective and adequate policing here. We've heard from others, including the Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness, who is a former Toronto police chief, who has also said the lack of police action has been inexplicable. And I'm saying, as a member of the Police Services Board, that the lack of police action has been inexplicable. So, Interim Chief, even if there has been inadequate resources to address this crisis, why haven't there been the basic probative enforcement exercises to address the most blatant violations of the law? You know, maybe en masse, it's going to take time to deal with the situation, but there've been many situations, many instances where action could have been taken. So I'm just wondering, why weren't actions taken? As example, we see the corner of Rideau and Sussex. We see the war memorial. Why haven't specific actions been taken in terms of those incidents?
So what I'll start with is there's already been committed to a review of what led up to the point that we're at today around this demonstration. We welcome that. What I can sit here and commit to you is a substantive plan forward, actions forward to end the demonstration within our city. We know that over the past number of weeks, several of, if not all of those safety concerns that you've identified have existed within our streets. They have been completely unacceptable. We have, from the early days, identified that we needed the resources to be able to access to safely stop these demonstrations in our city. The board, through Chair Deans, the council, through the mayor, have actually advocated for us to receive those resources. And in those resources, in turn, we've been able to bring in partners from the OPP and RCMP to work collaboratively together to build a substantive, definite plan that is properly and adequately resourced to ultimately end this occupation. We will continue to work towards that plan to end the occupation in our streets so that we see no more of those unsafe activities.
As of yesterday, the updated numbers in Ottawa are 150 people overnight, with 360 vehicles left in the area. The 4,000 vehicles when the occupation first began had significantly dwindled. So far in Ottawa, there have been 33 charges laid with 18 arrests. Though the interim chief could not provide specific details as to the size of the operation or a timeline, he had this to say.
So again, as is the responsibility of myself as interim chief, I will brief the board on that plan, that operational plan, as we roll it out in the time that is required to me prior to doing that. One thing I will say, though, is nobody across Canada has ever dealt with an occupation on this scope, scale, size with this type of equipment or vehicles in an area. This is unprecedented. We've said this from the beginning. This has not been managed by any police service across Canada in the history of our country. We are continuing to work with them on their best experience to manage what is a new and unprecedented situation. Any information that we have received that there could be complicity by any of our members or anybody associated with this police service, we are actively investigating it to come to a resolution or come to a culmination in terms of discipline that would be associated with that. As the interim chief, I could tell you, anybody that is supporting this demonstration has no place in this police service and will be dealt with accordingly. But I can tell you that we are actively have resources that are deployed. It takes several resources to keep the footprint where it is. And there is no in and out privileges that we're allowing in the demonstration.
During the first 2 weeks of the occupation, so-called the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, the Premier was largely out of sight and eventually went to his cottage for some snowmobiling while taking phone calls almost 24/7 on the developing situations around the province. In fact, Ford and the Ontario Legislature have been on break since December, despite calls for an emergency session to discuss the convoy. Reports have surfaced that Ford has also refused to attend meetings with the federal and municipal governments in Ottawa 3 times. He says this is because the government does not have the power to direct police. However, once he got back from the cottage last week, Premier Ford declared a state of emergency, announcing stiffer penalties and fines to protesters.
We're now 2 weeks into the siege of the city of Ottawa. I call it a siege because that's what it is. It's an illegal occupation. This is no longer a protest. With a protest, you peacefully make your point and you go back home. And I know that the vast majority of the people did that. My message to you is this: your right to make a political statement does not outweigh the right of hundreds of thousands of workers to earn their living. It does not outweigh our right to get food across our borders. Your right to make a political statement does not outweigh the rights of 1 million people in Ottawa to live peacefully, free of harassment and chaos in their own homes.
When questioned on his absence and whether or not the lifting of restrictions was a result of the protests, the Premier had this to say.
I'll tell you, Colin, I was at the cottage. I went out on my snowmobile. I take calls till 1 o'clock in the morning. I get calls before 6 o'clock in the morning, and I will not stop until we get this taken care of. And I will continue to make sure we're engaged in every single area of our responsibility. I will never, ever negotiate that people that break the law, that people that are in there illegally and occupying cities. I base it on health. I base it on science. Dr. Moore has clearly said it's time to move forward. I look forward to Dr. Moore's measures and recommendations, and will continue to work with Dr. Moore to reopen safely and cautiously.
The Ontario Emergency Management and City Protection Act replaced the former Emergency Management Act in 2002. The primary changes to the act was to include emergencies related to diseases and health risks after the poor response to SARS. The act authorizes the province to direct police and resources and requires all municipalities in Ontario develop an emergency preparedness and response program. It will include the protecting of international border crossings, 400 series highways, airports, ports, bridges, and railways. It will also include protecting the safe and essential movement of ambulatory and medical services, public transit, municipal and provincial roadways, as well as pedestrian walkways. While the emergency measures shouldn't be in place for too long, here's what Ford had to say about the other mandates going away.
Effective March the 1st, we intend to eliminate capacity limits in all indoor public settings. At the same time, and at the recommendation of Dr. Moore, we will lift proof of vaccination requirements for all settings. Today's announcement is not because of what's happening in Ottawa or Windsor, but despite it. On Friday morning, I made the difficult decision to declare a state of emergency in Ontario. To those who are still there, to those of you who are there with the sole objective of causing disruption and chaos, there'll be serious consequences for this lawless activity. We will continue to raise the consequences against those who are holding millions of jobs and people hostage.
Similar words have been echoed by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in his response.
We're not suspending fundamental rights or overriding the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. We are not limiting people's freedom of speech. We are not limiting freedom of peaceful assembly. We are not preventing people from exercising their right to protest legally. We'll always defend the rights of Canadians to peaceful assembly and to freedom of expression, but these blockades are illegal, and if you're still participating, the time to go home is now.
That's going to do it for this episode of Today in YGK. I hope you enjoyed it and found it at least a little bit informative. I've been Taylor, that was Chance you heard back there, and we're hopefully going to keep this going at least once a week. So get ready for some more news, I guess. Bye-bye.